Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 20. If you'd like to stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you're physically able, I'll read the odd verses by myself. You can join me out loud on the even verses as we read through the end of the chapter, beginning in verse 11. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats, and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, which they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon, neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people, according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats, with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look to him, look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Did you notice there the word necessary? Several times. You know, we're going to talk a little bit about this subject of sacrifice. After all, it is Memorial Day. But remember, these things were orchestrated by God. Almighty God. You know, ultimately, the sorrow and the grief that a family bears over the loss of a loved one in service of something they believe in, maybe even a sacrifice for others, God knows what he's doing. He knows already these things that are going to be taking place. But sacrifice is something very important. Well, so today we're looking at this chapter 9 of the book of Hebrews. And maybe you've spent some time here before studying and looking through these things, because we see the very purpose and reason of sacrifice. You know, sacrifice is just something that's part of life. Maybe not all the time is it concluded in the ultimate of sacrifices, of the giving of one's life. Many times it includes maybe what you might call minor sacrifices or small sacrifices that we go through life. But nonetheless, sacrifice is a part of life. You say, how can you say that? And you say it's not life, it's death. Or it's difficulty. Yes, but that's life. You understand that, if you will, unless Jesus comes back, we're all going to die.
We do have an expiration date. I don't know where it is stamped on us, but it's somewhere. We don't know the time. We don't know the place. We don't know the date. But it's going to happen. And some give their lives, if you will, in that ultimate sacrifice and service of perhaps our country or a community or even on an individual basis. But sacrifice, nonetheless, is something that is a part of life. And if we, as we look through this thing and just it's talking primarily about Jesus Christ, as I already mentioned, who is our ultimate example. If Jesus was willing to sacrifice, and let me say, in many ways, both during his life here on this earth and in the ultimate sacrifice of his life, or rather his death on the cross. You see, Jesus experienced the ultimate sacrifice and the small sacrifices along the way. You know, that's why the Bible tells us that, hey, listen, we can make it through because Jesus suffered through all these things. He knows what you're going through. The little and the big. He knows what we're going through. He's experienced it all. He was persecuted. He was slandered. He was buffeted. He was put down. He was alienated. He was cast out and set aside and bullied and picked on and all these other things. And then, of course, we know he was crucified and he died. Sacrifice. He's our example. We go through and we see here and many times that this thing was set upon Christ alone to accomplish. Did you know that no one else could accomplish what Jesus accomplished? No one else could. I couldn't. You couldn't. The saints of old couldn't. The prophets couldn't. Abraham couldn't. Nobody could. Hey, Enoch, he was a pretty good guy, right? He walked with God. I think he was a really good guy. And God liked it so much, he just took him. He couldn't. Job, by God's own testimony, a righteous man, a just man that feareth God and escheweth evil, he couldn't. Only Jesus could fulfill what he fulfilled. Only he could accomplish what he could accomplish. So it was upon Christ the duty of sacrifice. You know, the men and women that serve our country count it a duty to sacrifice their lives for our freedoms and our liberties. You know what? As the Bible tells us that we are good soldiers of Jesus Christ, that we are part of the family of God, you know, it's our duty to sacrifice. We have a duty to sacrifice, as Jesus had a duty to sacrifice for us. In John chapter 3, the Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe? If I tell you of heavenly things, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but would have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." See, it was the duty of the Son to be that sacrifice for us. You know what he did? He fulfilled that duty. You know what these men and women that we're celebrating this Memorial Day have done? They fulfilled their duty. You see, this thing of sacrifice is something that we have a duty to. Whether it's small, great, or ultimate, we have a duty to sacrifice. In Galatians chapter 4, the Bible tells us, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons."
It was his duty. He was the one that was sent. He was the one that was to fulfill.
You say, oh, well, that was God. God's son, the son of God. That was easy for him. You think it was easy for these who enlisted and signed up, if you will, or maybe were even drafted at some points in time? You think it was easy for them to go out in the battlefield and give their lives? It was just a walk in the park, a piece of cake, knowing that you might take a bullet to stand for the things that you stand for? No. How do we know that? We've often talked about in Matthew chapter 6 being called the Lord's Prayer when it's really the model prayer. But here in Matthew 26, we see this event take place. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. And saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. The duty of sacrifice. You know, I'm sure that in meeting rooms or maybe in a army tent, there are discussions and talks about this line going here and this division moving here and this being the hottest part of the battle. And these men understanding, and these women understanding, tomorrow would be their last day. I don't think they were jumping up and down and cheering and, although, I mean, I think it was probably a pretty somber thing. But you know what they did? They did it anyways. They did it anyways. The duty of sacrifice. In Isaiah 50 verses 5 through 7, the Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from the shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I shall not be confounded. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. You say, that's what Jesus did. Yes, it was. Guess what? That was written in the book of Isaiah. Long before Christ came and accomplished the duty of sacrifice. We're told in the New Testament to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. We're told in 2 Timothy 3, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know, as a Christian, it's our duty to sacrifice. Hey, the Bible even calls it a reasonable service. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You understand that not at all times the sacrifice means to give your life. You know, there are men and women that come back from battle that are handicapped, disabled, missing limbs, or perhaps their sanity. We've heard all the terms. We know what they go through. Can I tell you something? That's a sacrifice. That's a sacrifice. They've suffered much for our freedoms. As Christians, we're told that we may suffer persecution. Are you willing to complete your duty of sacrifice? Hey, guess what? If God so leads, I'm willing to give my life for the Lord. I'm willing to suffer persecution. And as these that in times past went forward in battle, even knowing that that particular day would be their last, they were willing to complete their duty of sacrifice. Hey, folks, today, are we willing to do the same? Are we willing to commit to the same? What if God has chosen you to be like some of the missionaries around the world that went to a native people that knew nothing of Christ, and they were killed before they could even share the gospel with one of them? Many missionaries lost wives or children in the course of giving the gospel to a heathen nation. What are we willing to do? Are you willing to take up that mantle and make it your duty to sacrifice? As we look at back at our scriptures, in verse 22, it said, "On almost all things by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary." You notice this? Not only is sacrifice a duty, sacrifice is necessary. It's necessary. You say, but it's an awful thing. It's a terrible thing. It's a tragic thing. Yes, but it's a necessary thing. In Romans chapter 5, the Bible tells us, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so was the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto the justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, it was necessary. Sacrifice is necessary. Can I tell you something? Sin is in this world. That's a fact. And guess what? There's nothing you or I can do about it. It's here. Do you know what that makes? That makes sacrifice necessary.
You know what sin's going to do? It's going to do what sin does. And those that are opposed to it are going to continue to stand. So you see, sacrifice is necessary. Why do we have to go through all these wars? Why do we have to go through all these battles? Because of sin. Why do all these people have to sacrifice their lives? Because sin is in this world. And there's something to stand for. Hey, aren't you glad that Jesus said, Father, not my will, but thine be done? I'm glad. I'm glad he was willing to go to the cross. I'm glad he understood that it was necessary that he shed his perfect blood for us to provide salvation. It was necessary. We already read that without the shedding of blood is no remission. We understand that sacrifice is necessary. You know, it may be one day that I need to lay down my life for the cause of Christ. And if that's necessary, I'll do it. I've already decided that. Hey, I've even decided if it's necessary for me to lay down my life for my family, I'm going to do it. And I've even decided if it's necessary for me to lay down my life for y'all, I'm going to do it. It's just something we have to decide. Are we going to? Or are we not? You say, well, that would be tragic. That would be awful. Perhaps. But it's not only a duty. It's necessary. You see, we just need to understand that in this world, the way that it's set up, the way that God has ordained and orchestrated it, sacrifice is not only a duty, it's a necessity. In Acts chapter 9, the Bible says, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. That's talking about the Apostle Paul. He was the apostle chosen out of due time unto the Gentiles. And God said that he must suffer for my name's sake. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul writes to the Corinthians, it says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we, which live, are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound unto the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Sacrifice is necessary. It's necessary. And as we close, go back to our text this morning and look at this passage of Scripture. We see that these things happened for a purpose. Look at verse 28 as we read together in our text this morning. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him
shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Not only is there a duty to sacrifice and a necessity to sacrifice, but there's a benefit of sacrifice. A benefit. Did you know that you and I have benefited from the sacrifice of many? Hey, in just a few minutes, we're going to freely get up out of our seats, visit with one another without fear, walk out to a vehicle of some sort, start it up, drive away, hopefully have some kind of lunch, carry on throughout the afternoon, perhaps get in that vehicle again, come back to church, enjoy the freedoms and liberties of this life, because many have sacrificed. You know, not in everywhere, in every place can people do that. But in America, we can. You see, there is a benefit to sacrifice. I've already mentioned to you, in verse 22, it tells us that without shedding of blood is no remission. We cannot have a home in heaven without the blood of Christ. So all you preach and teach a bloody religion. Yes, I do. And boldly so. Because without the shedding of blood is no remission. Jesus Christ needed to suffer. It was his duty to suffer. It was a benefit to me for him to suffer and die on that old rugged cross. You know what? I'm thankful for that sacrifice. And I'm thankful that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters in the military that gave their lives. The ultimate sacrifice. You know, when I signed up in 1996 to go into the Navy, I knew what I was getting into. Now, those of you that served likewise, you knew that there was a possibility of not coming home. I'm sure my mom and dad understood that as well. Two out of three of us in our family, my brother serves in the Army. He's still in the National Guard, and I in the Navy a long time ago. But we know. But there's a benefit to that. And we get to receive the benefits, just like we received the benefits of Christ and his sacrifice. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul writes and says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." You know, you can look to battle after battle, war after war. At the very end of it, people are glad for the victory, aren't they not? But didn't it cost something? Oh, a great amount. You see, we just need to understand this thing of sacrifice. Jesus said in John 15, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends,
if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. You know what those that have given their lives as a sacrifice want for us to do? To live. They want us to live. We get to live here in America with the freedoms we have because of their sacrifice. And can I tell you something on a spiritual side? We get to actually live because of his sacrifice for us. Without him, we do not have life. You see, but I'm sucking air. I'm alive. Yeah, but you're not really alive until you're born again. We get to live because of his sacrifice. We get to live in our freedoms and liberties because of their sacrifice. Those are the benefits of sacrifice. And those that have given their life want us to live because of their sacrifice. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll close with this today. It says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, for it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye also be of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you be you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. You see, there's a great benefit to sacrifice. Not only do we get to live, do we get to have the freedoms and liberties, but we also get to extend comfort to those that need comfort by the experiences in our lives. You see, God wants us to follow him. He wants us to be that living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. There's a duty to sacrifice. There's a necessity to sacrifice. And there are benefits to sacrifice.